Howdy, 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 and welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast. Actually, wait, shit, I should have said my name first, huh?
Yeah, you should have. You fucked it up.
Hello, everybody. My name is Blake Rea, one of your hosts.
And I'm AJ Hart, your other host.
This is Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast inspired by Polygon's Cool Games, Inc. Each week, we take your lovely ideas from the internet, from Reddit, email, Twitter, and YouTube.
That's not an official channel.
Wow.
Thank you for pausing for me on that one.
There's a super big delay, I think. Well, this week's recording will be a lot of fun.
It's not going to be. We are experiencing technical issues.
Uh-oh.
I'm roboting for Blake. Blake's roboting for me. And sometimes our delay is just really bad.
Yeah, sometimes we don't even hear each other, which is a little bit problematic.
Yeah, it's not great. Not great for the quality of a recording.
All right. Well, how about we just do our little opening bit? And if we have issues, we can always postpone recording again.
Okay. What do you got for me?
I was just going to ask how you've been, man. What games you playing this week?
Not until dawn. I beat Last of Us 2.
Very different games.
I beat Indivisible.
Oh, shit. Right on. Good for you.
And I'm back to the Yakuza grind.
There's a lot of Yakuza games that you still have to burn.
The closer I get through them, the more I'm starting to debate whether or not I go through 3, 4, and 5, and then maybe I just hit 1, 2, and 0 and then hop on over to number 7 and skip all those early 2000 games.
Is that because they are just like on a technical level not built very well, or is just they're not really regarded as the better ones?
A little bit of both. Like, they're not remodeled the same way that the other two, the way that Kiwami 1 and 2 are. So, like, it's just, like, a big jump to, like, an old, old game. They're just remasters and not remakes.
Interesting. Okay.
And a little bit of just, like, I want to try the cool street-based RPG, where it's just an RPG where you punch real hard.
I like that. That's a good game.
What about you, my man? What are you playing?
I have been spending every waking hour of this past week indulging in Warhammer things. So I have been it's just become my like escape bullshit thing. Like, just like so much is going on in life right now. You know, with everything going on in the world and everything and shit. It's just nice to have some things that you can just lean into.
Yeah.
And I have just been painting, sanding, and just basing Warhammer minis throughout the week. And I also was like, it's gotten to the point, AJ, where I'm like, man, I'm really tired of painting Warhammer minis. I'm gonna take a break by playing a Warhammer video game. That's my fucking. And then when I'm tired of the Warhammer mini game, guess what I've done? I just start reading a Warhammer book. Like, I've churned through like 3 books in this past week, and it is, and I'm very happy about that. But also, like, fuck, dude, I need more books
than I've read in the last decade. My man.
Really? I thought you read a lot of books. It's just like once around college you kind of dipped out on it.
I graduated in I've only been out of college for a couple of years. Hold on. I'm way younger than I thought I was there for a little bit. Sorry. For some reason today, just like I woke up and like my bones are dust and my hair's gray and I noticed like really bad wrinkles. And I've realized that like it's just because I haven't been eating my vitamins. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually a million years old.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't eat my vitamins and slept bad. So I'm still young.
Yeah, AJ, we've only been out of high school for like, what, 7 years, 6 years?
I mean, that is almost
a decade. I will give you that. That is very close.
4 more years and it will be a decade since I've left high school.
Wow. That's a weird feeling, huh?
In other words, it's only half a decade. In which case, it's really not worth rounding up that far, is it?
I mean, for dramatic effect, you can say that. It's like, I haven't read a book in 10 years. Upon saying that, I feel like 90% of our audience will be like, yeah, that totally tracks. That totally makes sense.
The other reason why I feel like I'm like a million years old today is because like today I went for a small jog. And when I was done with the jog, I was like, I was coming near the end of the jog and I was like, I should sprint it out. Just go ahead and wrap it up, you know, sprint it out for a good one.
Oh, no.
So I went ahead and sprinted for a good couple hundred feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like lightheaded for the next hour and a half, dude. I was just like, oh, I'm never, oh, God, this, oh. But if I, oh.
No, I feel you on that. Like, I've been trying to use this time of quarantine to get a little bit more fit. and sometimes I push myself a little bit too much. I worked out the other day, and as soon as I was done, I went to the bathroom and vomited. I'm like, you know, maybe I need to be a little bit easier on myself, because I am also getting old. My old bones, they aren't what they used to. They're not pliable anymore.
These old bones will turn to dust if I push them too far.
Weird question. You know, like how Luffy is a youngin? And when
he's
older,
a spry 19-year-old.
When he gets older, do you think like he just becomes less stretchy? Like, you know how you play with like a Stretch Armstrong that's really old and it got really rigid? Is Luffy, when he's old, just going to become like a statue? Like dry out?
Well, there's
out
two
rubber?
Options. One is like he's going to dry out and be a statue. Two is that he's going to be like a really flaky, crumbly man from like if you have a rubber band and you like open and close it and open and close it and open and close it a bunch.
Oh, it gets like those weird like stretch wrinkles. Poor Luffy. Luckily, he's probably going to die before he's 20.
He'll probably die before he's 20. One Piece is going to end with him being murdered and stabbed to death.
Oh, God. All right. We should like make a game or something. We spent our first 10 minutes talking about shit that isn't game related.
Well, let's not get too far there, because we were talking about some video games, mainly Warhammer.
That's fair. God, AJ, I love Warhammer so much. I want you to play it. The new edition. AJ, the new edition comes out in like 2 weeks. And I also might have picked up the other rule set for a completely different tabletop game that's going to absorb all of my time. But the new edition's coming up. God, it's just like really addicting, dude. It's like really satisfying. It's really like to sit and paint is just really peaceful. And it's like my biggest de-stressor. I would very much recommend it to anybody that's looking to de-stress. But yeah, we were talking about games. Well, let's talk about some games that shouldn't be made, though, friend.
Let's talk about some video games that should not be made. How about you hit us with the first one?
Oh, shit. I get to do first submission?
Yeah, you seem really excited about getting into it, so I'm going to assume you got some stink to bring me.
I have stink, but it's not the stink you want. This one comes to us. Side note, anytime I pull up your username, I have to go to your page because it always runs longer than your than your posts. Like, it gives me the dot dot dot. So this one comes to us from Don't July to Mel. No, you buried the treasure in your eye. What does that mean,
dude? Are you good?
I know I'm roboting right now. That comes to us from at Dust in Your Eyes Cheesemaker Simulator, because you were mentioning stank, and what's stankier than cheese? So AJ, I feel like we've talked about it before. You know, like how a few games ago we made that suit that you can like feel actual pain and sensations with.
Yeah, I remember that. I believe that was for our Fast and the Furious Silent Hills video game.
Yes, Fast and Furious Fearless are the Silent Hills Fast and the Fast and Furious. I don't know. We got to stop making games where it's just like takes like two sentences to say.
But I do remember having our patented feels bad technology.
I want to make an extension to that. That's all about smelling, because like you can't do a cheese making simulator unless you can smell the rancid fucking cheese that you have in your refrigerator. So and think of all the different games you can make with that, with something that you can actually like. There's not a whole lot of games, because all of them would revolve around the same thing. You just like, hey, that smells bad, and then you'd just be done playing the game.
No, but you're right, because like I think that we're getting close to that point where we need to have something new to our controllers, right? Like we need to give them something to play with, because I love controller gimmicks. Like if I'm playing the PlayStation 4 and I'm playing sick Second Son and I have to flip my controller sideways so I can do a spray paint, that feels God, super dope.
That reminds me, you went on like a Second Son rant earlier this week, didn't you?
I just don't understand why people hate that video game. It rules so hard. That game owns bones.
Well, I don't know. Okay. So, okay. What do you think would like, is there an infamous game we can make that is about smells? Because each game introduces like a new character that has a specific power. But what if you do one that is all about? Okay, so here it's.
Well, here's what I could.
We could play
as a character that is the. Oh my god! I had like four things all ding in my room, and I thought that all of my electronic devices were on silent, but I found out very tragically that none of them are actually.
AJ's like really popular. That's all of his Tinder notifications, even though that's the Facebook sound, but that's your Tinder.
That was a lot of different notifications. Like I said, I'm very popular. Okay, so what I could propose is we could do an infamous game where you play as Because like every conduit has like a thing that they are essentially a that person. We've got a lightning person, a smoke person, a neon sign person. We could have our character of our next infamous game be a cheese person.
Oh, okay.
And the way and so like they get all the they have all the powers and manipulation Midas? Of cheese. You know, they can make a big cheese wall. They can turn into a big cheese wheel and zoom around super fast.
I think they should also be kind of like King Midas. Like anything they touch is cheese.
That's one of the like ultimates that they get in the late game.
Oh, that's not a very fun feeling.
For a melee thing, they can get their hand can turn into a big mozzarella cheese whip. And like as you upgrade it through the game, it'll get longer and longer and longer.
Can I pitch you one like little character? Because I feel like every Infamous game is all about the character. You know, Cole, right? Was the first guy?
Cole McGrath.
Yeah, he was cool because he had like a pretty bitchin' style, shaved head. The second guy, also amazing style, but was also like a street rat.
I love Delson so much.
He's a cool character design. Really, really awesome. I suggest we do somebody who looks a little bit like Solid Snake. But instead of a cigar, he has a string cheese that he just bites into. He doesn't like separate it. He just like bites into string cheese like it's like some gross ass cigar. And he just always has a piece of string cheese in his mouth.
Well, you proposed the idea that he's got a little bit of a King Midas situation. Might I propose this? It was a cigar until he popped that bad boy into his mouth and then it turned into a cheese stick.
Okay. All right. There we go. And that's
so where does the smell-o-vision come in? So here's the way that this game is going to work. There's a special controller that you can buy for it that has the smell-o-vision inside of it. And you're going to have to go out and refill that every now and again. One of the key mechanics of the Infamous games is like you need to charge up your superpowers, right? Delson's going to run out of smoke. Cole McGrath's going to run out of electricity. You need to make sure you're juicing up. But how do you find cheese in the world? We can't offer some sort of cheese vision, but what we can offer is a smell-o-vision.
Okay, so
your
you
controller,
just
when you
just,
are near a cheese, will
thing?
Start to fume up the controller. So when you're low on cheese energy, you have to start walking around the map, and you have to hold the controller close to your nose, and you have to play a little bit of like hot
Why?
And cold.
Wait,
to
I was
find where the
I was
cheese
picturing
is.
This is just like a piece of technology that you just strap to your nose. Like this is like it looks like a little piggy nose that you just put on there and there's a big ass strap that goes around your head like a VR mask, but like less fun. Well, because like actually, you know what we could also do? There's two things we can do here. I don't know if you ever thought this, but when I first got a PS4 controller, when I looked at the touchpad, I thought it was a scratch and sniff touchpad, like weird shock. I know most people had that reaction. So what if we do?
Yeah,
a thing?
That's normal.
So
everyone thought that.
So if we get the PS4 or the PS5 controller actually is going to have a scratch and sniff thing. So I feel like we can utilize this technology. This is going to be a launch title for the PS5. So it's called Second Son. it's basically you have to go around and
Infamous Second Son. The wheel keeps on turning.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. That's so good, actually. And you know what you could do? You know, like there's like weapon wheels in games. So if you pull it up, it's just like it's a cheese wheel that rotates and then like imprinted on it because like people love like burning like things into cheese for some reason. Dude, the whole side note, putting this aside, cheese community is a little weird because it's like it's very kind of posh.
Hold on. How much information do you have about the fucking cheese community, Blake?
I know a lot.
I want to make sure you're a little bit educated before you say something really fucking horrible and we get canceled by the cheese community.
I mean, like, all five of them. I don't care.
Blake, no, fuck off. Because eventually this show's going to get large enough that we're going to get guests, like, we're going to do live shows and people are going to bring us gifts. And I need to ensure that we're going to get the good cheese from the cheese community. So don't say shit about them, all right?
I mean,
I'm down to make fun of literally any other community. I draw the line at the cheese community.
Well, you're poshy because you want the good shit. If like a fan brought us a pack of Kraft singles, I'd be like jazzed.
I'm not gonna look a gift horse in the mouth, AJ. Our fans respect us more than that.
You don't like Kraft singles, dude?
I wouldn't wipe my ass with Kraft singles.
Why would you wipe your ass with any cheese? All right, I think this game got a little bit away from us, but it's like, okay, it's Infamous, but you have cheese and there's a scratch and sniff mechanic. If you actually, depending, you have to judge it by the smells, because this was the point I was trying to make. People are very, very, very strict about cheese. It's got to smell right. It's got to have the right texture. It's got to be, you know, molding for enough amount, for the perfect amount of time. So when you scratch and sniff, you have to get good at sniffing when cheese is good versus bad. So if you like absorb cheese that's too bad, guess what? You don't have enough power, or it only gives you a little bit of juice.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Brother, do you have a game?
I got one for you.
All right, tell me about it.
This comes from Twitter. It's me, Roxy, at See-Through Girl.
That's a good name.
Disney Princess Animal Sidekick Simulator. Run around and cause hijinks while strategically, yet indirectly, pushing parts of the plot along.
Oh, interesting. So we're playing, like, the reptile from Tangled?
God, oh, thank God. I was really worried that you were about to say the reptile from Mulan, and I was going to lose my mind if you did not know the name of Mushu.
I didn't until you
I
just
could still
mentioned
lose
it.
My mind on you on the, for the fact that you don't know the name of Pascal.
Pascal. Pascal's a good name.
God, please tell me I'm right and that little lizard's name was Pascal and yes, I'm not a big idiot.
Yeah, it's Pascal, dude. I remember God, because it was like, I always thought it sounded like pastel.
Can't believe you didn't know who Pascal was. Can't believe you didn't remember Pascal's fucking name.
What is the name of the dude from Tangled? Do you remember that, boyo? What was his real name?
Are you talking about Flynn?
Yeah, but that's not his real name.
That's his real name.
That's not his real name.
Oh, fuck off, Eugene. Oh, it's Eugene. That's a stupid name, and you and I both know it. If I met a guy named Eugene, I would bully him immediately. Flynn had such a better idea choosing the name Flynn.
Why do you have such hate against Eugene? That's a pretty decent name. I don't know why you're so mad about it.
It was my dad's middle name, and I ever only heard it when my mom was frustrated with my dad. So I just like, I have a bad connection to it. If wait, I heard the name Eugene in my wait, youth, I was like, oh, great, my dad fucked up.
Wait, did your mom do that thing where, like, she used their full name when they're angry? That's such a weird thing that, like, I think only moms do. Because I know my mom did it as well. She'd be like, Blake Alexander Rea. And I'd be like, what the fuck?
One step closer to doxing Blake.
I mean, like, I got put on, I have a public Twitter. I get put on blast at least once a week.
Yeah, moms do that thing where like they'll say your full name, and like hearing your own full name triggers something, but hearing your father's full name just activates a fight or flight in the whole home.
the whole structure of the household is
yeah
family.
If I heard a Douglas Eugene Hart, I was like, uh-oh,
wait, your dad's name's Douglas?
Yeah,
why did
what did you think my dad's name was?
I AJ, for some reason I don't remember ever hearing your dad's name. Like, that's...
Hold on, does it spark a memory in you? Blake, are we long-lost brothers?
I mean, probably not. I know you've mentioned your dad's name before, but I could just for some reason, I have this strong feeling like I've never heard AJ's dad's name before. Because it's just like, when we talk about our parents, it's like, hey, my dad... It's not like I'm going to, when I'm telling you about my dad, it's like, yeah, Joe is really getting on my ass about whatever.
Your dad's name is Joe?
Yeah, well, it's Joey. It's Joey something Rhea. I forget his middle name.
Hey, what the fuck does this have to do with video games?
I don't know, man. Like, we meant to record. This is like our third time trying to record today. So like both AJ and I are in like a weird tumbly state. I'm on my third cup of coffee and I've been just headbanging all morning.
We have, this is the third time we've tried to gear up for this podcast recording. Yeah, we weren't kidding. My internet's really been shitting the bed on this team.
So, and then it's just been a weird morning. AJ and I had like an hour-long conversation talking about Fate Go characters and how they're just, all of them are great. And just talking about dumb shit. So
we are definitely going to be playing as a little lizard in this video game.
Oh my god, that's right. What the fuck? All right, I'm just going to say it. Everybody, this is going to be kind of a chill episode that's not really focused. I love you all. We're going to be doing hundreds of these episodes, so a couple of them are going to be weird and just like chill out episodes. Let's try and figure out a game though.
I mean, we're already 20 minutes into this episode. Yeah,
we're still 20 minutes. We're almost halfway done. Oh, fuck. We fucked up all bad, dude. Usually by this time, we have actually stumbled across, like, our nug potential thing, huh? Oh, man. I feel like so I feel so unprofessional.
I think that maybe for the rest of this episode, we just point out how bad of a job we're doing as podcast hosts.
Keeps us humble. Keeps us humble.
All right, that one apparently didn't stick, so I'm going to try another one.
No. Let's. I want to. They took their time out of their day to give us a submission. I want to try and at least summarize something. I don't feel it would be cool to just drop people's submissions. So let's try something.
All right. So you play as a little lizard. Our lizard. Oh shit! What color is it going to be? Can't be red.
Well, no. Can't be green. Let's choose something else because it could be a reptile because reptiles are popular lately because Frozen 2 just had that little ice lizard, right?
Frozen 2 had a blue lizard too? Shit, we're running out of colors.
I mean, it's not like there's like at least 200 of them. I have no basis for that number other than
could
like
we do a yellow
bit.
Lizard? I don't really want to have a yellow lizard.
You know what? I want to go back to up. I want a bird companion because we don't get enough of those.
So, right, so you're playing as a bird companion.
So how about a bright yellow and orange owl? How about that?
Okay.
So you're an owl and you are. So can you read the submission again? Because you're like doing things in the background that help the main story work out, correct?
Yeah. Or run around and cause hijinks while strategically yet indirectly pushing parts of the plot along. I think this is like.
This is like the squirrel from Ice Age, I think would be a really good comparison.
Fuck yeah, you're going to. Yes, you're going to play as Scrat. Welcome to the Scrat video game.
There is a Scrat video game, dude.
And the whole purpose of this game is like it's environment puzzles. Maybe it's not Scrat. Well, it is Scrat, but you have a Disney princess that you have to protect and make sure that she gets all of her jobs done.
What Disney princess would want Scrat around? Actually, you know what it is? It's that the squirrel. Because most Disney princess animals love
the
princess.
It's not a squirrel, it's a scrat. It's squirrel rat. It's a scrat.
Okay. Okay,
scrat
so
is scrat.
Most Disney animals love the princess that they are with. Scrat famously values acorns above anything. This lady hails from an acorn kingdom, and her tiara is made of acorns. So that's his reason for staying, and he's going to be doing weird fucking level shenanigans to steal the princess crown. So this is actually a heist game, AJ. I didn't know if you knew that. So it's basically him working his way around it. Scrat is working their way. Oh, God, I can't believe we're making another IP game. Are we not creative enough to make our own characters?
An original IP you've played in the last 2 years.
Well, most of the games I've played lately,
all the big games
are based off of like books or an existing thing that wasn't a game beforehand.
Exactly. Video games don't work when they're original IPs. Look at it. Last of Us 2, biggest game this year.
It's the last IP I've played. Mm-hmm.
We got Gears of War 5.
Oh,
we've
my
got
God, you're
Yakuza
right.
Remix. Like, why would we bother making new and original video
fucking
games?
Catherine,
stealing
dude.
IPs is the way to do it.
God, you're right. You're right. That's game design. That's core game design.
So based on stealing ideas, I do know what the core story of our game is going to be.
Like anything that fucking Bethesda has not developed, but they've produced, like they have that new shooter game coming out that's like Groundhog's Day, but you are just like playing the game.
Oh, fuck!
Over
it's
and over
just
again.
Angry Groundhog's Day, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, like anything
not original now. Damn.
Anything out of the people who developed Enter the Gungeon or Minute. Devolver Digital, like anything they've done.
Devolver's the only original game developer. You got me.
AJ, there's just no. We can go back to that itch.io bundle from like the one we were helping like support like a couple episodes back. There's
right,
thousands
you caught
of games.
Me. You caught me. It was for the bit.
AJ, are you on a game design podcast and know nothing about game design? Because that
so
makes
I
both
think
of
that
us.
Our Scrat video game. You play a Scrat, and like I think that the princess is trying to go through like a. Princess and the Pauper storyline, and that's why you as Scrat are like you're trying to help her get out of the castle, you're trying to help her ditch the crown.
How about
trying
this?
To help her enjoy her life as a little pauper, that way you can keep that crown for yourself. Nice.
Well, I think it could be more something like this. So there is this, you are in this acorn kingdom. you are Scrat and you want to steal the princess's crown, or steal, like, you, and maybe you're working your way up to the crown. First, you're going to steal from a
local. You do still want the best for this princess. You just also want the acorn crown.
So how about this? So basically, because the submission was like, your mishaps help move the plot along. So if he's doing heists where he's like gonna sneak into a warehouse and steal some acorns, it turns out in the process of doing that, he busts like a crew of people that were planning on raiding the palace that night. So like his heists result in like people that are against the princess being caught. They're trying to like assassinate the princess. Actually, this is a Disney. Well, no, like 90s in
well,
90s.
He'd be doing shit like trying to steal the acorn shaped key, and then he'd bring it back to the princess and be like, check out this acorn shaped key. It looks like a tasty acorn, huh? And the princess would be like, ah, Scrat, that's just a key, you silly goober. Thanks, though. I'm out of here now.
Okay, there we go. So she's
maybe
like
that's what it is. Like, you're just like getting a bunch of acorn shaped.
She's trying
items.
To escape her tower, and like each level to get down through the tower requires different things. So like maybe she unlocks the door with the first key, and then she has to go to the next floor, and then the following floor requires its own set of puzzles or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. All right.
You got a video game for me?
That's a little video game. All right,
I'm going to count that one.
I mean, there's a rough concept there. Is it a game? No. All right. Okay. All right, this one I fucking love. This one comes to us from Half Shark Can't Travel at Melbent SSB. A Jet Set Radio Tony Hawk style game about gangs of punk rollerblading maids fighting for turf and customers in a resort.
All right.
All right, so I want a good rollerblading game. There isn't enough of them. So this is a resort that is all power, like all of the staff have rollerblades. And it's, oh my God, what if it's like a, Where do like people that participate in the X Games like stay when they're on vacation?
The X Hotel, of course.
Then that's what this game's about. It's about the X Games Hotel, and it's them. It's like all the staff fighting for turf in this hotel. So it's like it's kind of an open world thing, but it's like the open world is just this resort. So there's like a water park section. There's like a fancy like beach area. Or there's also just like a straight up skate park in the center of it, like the world's biggest skate park. So is this like a thing where it's like an MMO where you can choose which rollerblade people you're with? Because I'm figuring this is a little bit like what's that? God, it was that one game we made a while back about the Bass Pro Shops pyramid.
Oh, the faction multiplayer game?
Yeah, so I'm wondering if it's a little bit like that, but everything is just rollerblade themed.
No, because like I think that part of the issue with like those like multiplayer competitive games is like it doesn't open itself up to a nice, fun, experimental skateboarding game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we want this game to be, is like a fun stunt fiesta.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good name too, actually. Stunt Fiesta. I fucking love that.
That doesn't relate towards maids or gaining business at all. So, not sure
about
that.
How about Stunt Cafe? How about that?
Stunt Cafe. Now we're talking. So I think, like the core of the story would probably be just like, oh, you need to rollerblade and do stunts so that you can do better and unlock all the stuff. I think it would play like, what the fuck was that game? American Wasteland? Tony Hawk's American Wasteland?
Oh, where you can like get off of your board and go interact with people. It's not skating,
but
like
more about like anytime you were up at like, oh, we need this objective done. Somebody would be like, all right, bud, I need you to do 100 million points and also make sure that you grind on these two rails in one combo. And so you'd be trying to get that trick down over and over and over until you got it. And then that would impress like 20 maid or 20 customers.
I feel
and then
like
your total customer point would go up.
I feel like this should also be somewhat of a delivery game, because you can do a thing where like you are in a restaurant, but you get from table to table. Oh my God. So that's, here's the thing. So you have the cafe, like the dining area is also a skate park, but like the tables are in select areas that you can only get to by skating to it. That's
the
thing that makes it really cool.
And tricks that you get, the more points that you can rack up on your delivery when you make that delivery is going to impress more people. The more people you've impressed, the more your clientele for your maid cafe increases, the more missions and the more points you get, and then the more hotel you unlock.
Mm-hmm. And then each section that you unlock is a completely different sort of setup. So yes. It could be like it unlocks new areas to skate. So you can like set it up like, hey, you're on the clock or you're off the clock. On the clock means you have to like make deliveries, do tricks. Off the clock is just free rollerblading. And there has to be, AJ, there has to be a section where that unlocks and it's just roller derbying and it becomes its own like sub mini game.
I also love this idea of like, if we're going to be doing this like really rock and roll, like roller hotel, I want other zones that you unlock to add new mechanics, right? Like I want you to unlock like the balcony area, and like the balcony area has like rails all over the place. But the way that these rails are different is when you hop on them, you start zipping faster. Like all of a sudden on those special rails, it plays like a Sonic the Hedgehog game or like a Sunset Overdrive.
Okay,
or like
wonderful.
When you're grinding on those, you're locked on and you don't need to worry about balance, but you're going to be thinking about like, okay, where do I want to jump to next? Where
it becomes a platformer, basically. Moving? Yeah, you have to like pick which rail you want to be on.
You can stunt while you're jumping from rail to rail, but the rails themselves act differently than most rail grinding.
Fucking sweet. Okay.
Maybe there's some areas that there are going to be like bounce pads. And if you can go to the bounce pad area, then maybe you can like wall jump off of stuff and go higher up. Like different zones are going to have different mechanics for you to play with in our rollerblading stunt game. But again, I do want it to play like a Tony Hawk game where like as you're going, you can like grind, press the trick button, try to skate on one skate.
I have a thing for you. So one, everything, like the biggest thing in my opinion about Tony Hawk games and Jet Set Radio is the soundtrack. Who is going to do the soundtrack? Might I suggest we just take all of Ken Ashcorp's discography and that's just the radio. That or Daft Punk would be pretty good. But actually, Daft Punk doesn't hit as hard.
Well, we need to think about like what's the aesthetic that we want to go for, right? Like Tony Hawk had a bunch of rock and early like punk rock and like hip hop rock and stuff like that, right? It's like prog rock,
I would say.
Like Jet Set Radio is full of like electro funk.
Yeah, God, dude, that soundtrack fucking slaps like really hard.
Now, my immediate thought for our Maid Cafe rollerblading game is something like Caravan Palace. It's still like a little bit like electro funky, but maybe a little bit more like electro jazz. I guess.
Might I suggest like a happy medium between all of these? And I think it's on brand. Just Moe Shop.
Like a pastel. Electronica. Yeah, I don't know the term for it, but like that's kind of the best I can get, is like that lighthearted pastel feeling electronic music.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I feel like Moe Shop kind of dips and dives between a bunch of different
things. I'm sorry,
things,
I was thinking
like,
of Snail House, not Moe Shop.
No. Very similar, but no. Actually not really. Oh god.
I think I want it to be like a Snail House vibe.
Really? Where it's just like you want to make a chill like rollerblading game?
Yeah. I think I could do.
Okay, I can get behind that. Fuck yeah. There we go. Our Snail House rollerblading game. AJ, hit me up with another game.
All right.
We're getting somewhat back on track.
This comes from Alleycat on Twitter, at Millennium Hoo-Ha.
Hell yeah.
A dating game where you're an undercover detective dating the suspects of the case in order to gather clues and figure out who done it.
Oh my god. Okay.
This rules so fucking much.
Okay, what do you think is, because I feel like every murder mystery, you got to choose the backdrop first. Is it a noir? Is it a modern thing? Is it like a 1980s thing? Is it like a cyberpunk thing? What direction do you feel like going?
Huh.
Because I feel like I have not seen a dating game set in noir. I think that could be a lot of fun. So like 1930s, 1940s kind of like
wartime noir. You're talking like a day like any other day kind of noir?
Yeah, like that, but not as like cheesemo. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I'm super into that. Yeah, like this like timepiece, like 30s dating simulator. Okay, I'm into that very much.
Okay, so you're a private detective that has been, like, we have to figure out...
Correction. You're a private detective.
But you can also use the term from the time. I think they called them private dicks, was like the slang. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think it was a private dick.
Is that really what they were called?
I think it was, yeah. Wow. I want to fact check this. Yeah, a private dick, a private investigator.
All right. The jokes write themselves. The jokes write themselves, dude.
I fucking, man, I love how words change over time. Like, it's just how some of them just become really weird. Like I think my favorite one is, I know we're getting away from the idea, but I think it's just funny, is how boner has changed over the generations. Because, like, there are, like, Batman comics from, like, the 60s where he's like, oh, you've made a boner. But, like, boner meant, like, you've made a mistake or you were acting like a fool.
Yeah, and I want that to come back because, like, let me just tell you, the emotional high you can have when you call somebody a boner, pretty top tier. Like, if you haven't done it yet or done it recently, just call someone that. No one sees it coming, and it has, like, this playful nature to it. It's top tier.
It's like calling somebody cuck. It's just like not really. It's not really expected. All right.
So you play as a private investigator, and there's
private
like
dick.
You play as a private dick, and there's like 12 people that maybe did the murder, and you have to go undercover and find out who did it, why they did it, and how they did it, and you need all of those before you can get to any of the ends.
Mm-hmm. Is it one of those things like? You know what would be kind of an interesting concept to do, and I don't know how it would, like, change the vibe of it, but maybe this is, like, the aftermath of, like, a murder, like, they call them, like, a cozy murder, where it's, like, or a self-contained murder, where, like, everybody's locked in a house, somebody died, and they have to spend the course of the night or the course of the day figuring out who it was, but maybe they never did. So now this is the aftermath of why you were brought in. So you're going to, like, all of the people, because that instantly gives us a group of people to investigate. So,
okay,
like,
so there was, like, the whole, like, tropey murder hotel, right? Like, there was,
yes,
like, 12 people all in a hotel. Somebody was murdered. They all left the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That person, that Sherlock Holmes, was like, I did such a bad job. I need to call my buddy who's way better at this stuff and way more discreet than me. I gotta call Private Dick.
You know what would be kind of interesting? Maybe the person that was murdered was the private investigator, which would give them a reason to investigate it. So it's like
Holmes was killed.
So sure. Oh my God. So it's like the main, like the smartest. That would be kind of cool because that would kind of go against the grain a little bit of like the person who was best fit to solve this murder died. So that would explain why this person's going undercover and dating them because they think that's like the best way to investigate because maybe they're not like they aren't trained in investigation. So they're like, I guess I just go sleep with them and then I'm going to find out my answer.
Well, they're not using. I would argue that maybe the romances aren't necessarily like.
Our main protagonist
to be going into these things with nefarious purposes. They're not a fuckboy. They're not trying to make this person fall in love so that they can give it up. They're trying to make them fall in love so that they can find the murder.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I don't know. Like it's a dating game. Like it become it. That's the you got to have that aspect
you know what,
for it to be
fair.
A dating game.
We can just so
people. Is it. That's kind of like that's a little spicy, man. Like every interaction starts off as an investigation, but there's a little flirty vibe going on.
Okay, so then like, we need to decide what is the core gameplay loop, right? Because as you and I both know, if we want to make a dating game that's a absolute like sensation, right? We gotta look.
It's gotta
at
be
Honey
like
Pop,
Bejeweled,
had,
right?
Like a fun matching mechanism. We look at games like Helltaker, which is like a fun little like pushy puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think.
How
like,
about
what is
how about
the
this?
Puzzle.
AJ, how about this? How about this? How about this? How about this? So, you know, like how in a Bejeweled thing, like certain items are worth more points. So what about this? Oh my God, this would be pretty cool. So you are shown the crime scene and there's like a bunch of different items there. There's like a knife. There's a blood stain. There's a smashed mirror. So all of those things become little bubbles in that Bejeweled style thing. If you want to investigate something very precisely, you need to make nothing but those matches. So like
well, what I'm saying is like, I don't want to do the matching.
I think that would
be
fun though.
I want to think about a different gameplay that we can use as our dating piece.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I was thinking, what if it's like a I Spy thing?
So yeah, like, but I feel that's even more common than the doing the matchy bits. I feel like if we try it, like, here, stick with me for a second, because I feel if, like, you it gives a purpose behind why certain things are worth more. And it also makes the investigation more interesting, because here's the thing. Say you are trying to solve a crime scene. You need to score at least 1,000 points on the bloodstain. Like, you need to get 1,000 points worth of matching on the bloodstain orbs to properly investigate it and get the evidence out of it. Because if you don't play the Bejeweled game well enough, it actually affects your investigation abilities. So it can, like, change the game a little bit. Because with Honey Pop, it was just like, make enough matches and you succeeded at this date. But with this, it's like, don't make enough matches, you don't have enough information to properly, you know, narrow it down.
Ask the correct questions.
Yes. So
okay.
We're like,
might I propose this one then? Because rather than do the gameplay of the Bejeweled gameplay where it's like a matches, what's the one game where, like, you have a cannon at the bottom of the screen and you aim it with, like, different colors?
Bubble
of the
Blast.
Ball?
Bubble
like
blast.
A bubble blast type thing. That way we can actually lean into this, like, you're a detective, you're trying to choose your questions, you're trying to make the conscious decision of what you do want to match and what you don't want to match.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, it'd be kind of fun too.
And then
what if you
can have this whole fun, like UI where, like, it looks like a, like, old, like, detective revolver, and you can have, like, a little magnifying glass in the bottom left that would show, like, what color ball you're going to
what?
Be shooting out.
How next. About how about this? We gamify the conversation. So, like, we combine our ideas. So the person you're interrogating or interviewing or on a date with is playing against you. So, like, if you have to connect a certain amount of bubbles to ask a specific question or advance the conversation, but this person can then also be scoring points that can deflect your questions, or it might make your game, or the connections they make your game harder, or it makes it, like, a little bit more difficult to make certain connections. Like, it adds balls or adds, it adds just obstructions that, like, I don't know what the fuck to call them, but it's like it blocks you from making connections to ask specific questions.
Yeah, they'll put, like, a big, like, solid orb in the center of the screen that you then will have to shoot around and bounce your ball off the side of the screen to get the shot that you need,
yes,
rather than just
yes.
shooting it straight up.
Yes, 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 yes. So you can, like, every time you make a match, it just, like, it gives, like, a cool little L.A. Noir question that they give, like, a one sentence response to, because if it's, like, really deep conversation, I doubt you'll be able to pay attention to it while playing the Bubble Blast game.
Yes. Okay. Yes. This rules. And then, like, this means that, like, when, like, every time you go on to an investigation role, like, or a night with them where you're talking, getting to know each other, doing your investigation, they're always playing against you. So different characters are going to have different strengths. The game's going to get tougher as it goes on, because the AI on the opponent's side is going to get better and better as the dates go on.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, each level has to have its own specific environment obstructions, maybe, where it's like you have a level where you only can, like, do angled shots. You can never shoot anything straight on. Or it could be a thing where it's like you actually can't hit this specific ball, or it's going to make you fumble your words or something like that.
Yes, I like that a lot. Like, because, like, sometimes, like, you can do those bubble games, and, like, if you get the match up above, you can drop a bunch of balls. But in this game, like, you'll hit a point where, like, if you do that, you'll rush the conversation, and that would be a problem.
Also, you can do a thing where it's like maybe it's really quick rounds, because what you can do is like, if you go to a crime scene or you walk in on somebody doing something, you are shown a, like, a still of the environment. So it's like you see bloodstain, you see knife, or if you're, like, showing up somebody's apartment, you can see that they have a duffel bag on the bed that looks like it maybe has a little bit of blood on it or something. You can then after investigating those things or seeing those things, that gives you a hint of what specific combo you're looking for in the conversation. Because you can, like, look at a crime scene and be like, hey, you're going to just get the bloodstain ones. And then as you beat that level, you find out it's just grape juice. And that doesn't advance your investigation at all. So then you have to play the level over again. And that's the satisfying gameplay loop of, like, narrowing it down and trying to figure out what exact questions you need to ask to this specific person. It's a lot like Vampyr, where, like, some dialogue trees are more rewarding than others. But
yeah,
you can,
but, like,
still
what
get
I like
some
about
information.
This is, like, that means that the colors are narrative led rather than just like, oh, Sally likes hot and heavy people. Like, it's like Jimbo has a busted up car. We need to ask Jimbo about his busted up car. you need to get lots of car points. His car's red, so you need to be getting turns red
out. Turns out they really like car having sex in a car, and that accident was happening because he was doing that.
Jimbo's nasty. Jimbo's a little like bit Jimbo. Of an exhibitionist.
Jimbo's a himbo, dude.
Jimbo's a bit of a himbo. He maybe killed Sherlock Holmes with a rock.
I'm like, oh my god.
Give him a kiss. Find out.
Oh god. What happens if like you do you lose the game if you pick the wrong person?
No, like the way that this game is going to work is no matter what route you go through, you're going everybody's route, like as you get to one, once you incriminate somebody, you fall in love with somebody. So like every route's end has the main character falling in love with somebody but incriminating another person. So like if you do the romance route with Jimbo, like it's going to look like Jimbo definitely killed him. But then in the third act, it's revealed that Jimbo never could have done it because Jimbo was
doing
something else. But you are able to find out that Sherlock Holmes' assistant killed him.
That's a very classic like Murder, She Wrote thing, like the 1980s TV series where they like up until like the last like 10-15 minutes, you think it's one specific person and then some piece of evidence completely changes it. So like every person we meet will look like the murderer until the very, very last section of the game.
Yes, that's and then where you like romance the person you were investigating and getting all the points for, but then somebody else did the murder.
What happens if you romance the murderer and find out they're the murderer?
There is no murderer. No route that we go through will lead to you finding out that you've been kissing the murderer, because I can't bring myself to create a video game where you've done a kiss on Sherlock Holmes's murderer.
Oh, and that'll be that. That's the playability. It's like every time, like each time you play the game, it turns out they have a scenario where everybody's the murderer and everybody's an innocent. So, yeah. Like, you can play the game and be like, I'm going to do this route. Who's going to be the murderer on this route? And then, like, how they murdered that person is going to be different. The clues are going to be different. The conversations are going to be different. Oh, that's actually really fun. And that makes the game, like, 10 times more playable. Because now it's just not one person that you have to romance and one person that's the murderer. I love that. That's a really good idea. Fuck yeah.
Now, we need to think about a couple things.
Oh my god, it's 50.
Yeah, this is the nug, my dude. We found it.
We don't want to do a couple. Can we do like a couple?
No, because I think we need to find AJ, out our boss fights, and then we need to go ahead and name this
AJ,
game.
Can we do 5 minutes of lightning round? Because I do feel bad that we spent like the first 20 minutes just dicking around. Can we just do like just pitch each other like some lightning round things?
Oh man, dicking around is another possible good name.
Stop it. Oh my god, you're right.
There's a lot of good naming possibilities here. We'll get into that's why I want a lot of time to figure out that name, because there's a lot of good potential here.
okay it's fine, but can we do 5 minutes of lightning round stuff?
Yeah,
okay. I have
I got
one for
one
you
here. Okay, you go.
Yeah, because you gave us our nug, so I'm gonna give you one. Level 9000 Yadru Druid Drew Davenport at the _ Davenporter Kaiju cleanup crew. So basically, it's just you are constantly you have a top down view of a city, and things just pop up, and you have to like click on them to avoid them. But if you don't, if you let things like if you let a city burn too long, that's going to affect like it's like a city management system. So like half the city burns, now you need to spend more money on fixing that part of the city. So you need to put out things as soon as they happen. A lot similar to
you would need to be mindful about like what monsters are fighting, right? Because if it's Godzilla and Mothra and like Godzilla makes a huge fire in the middle of the town park, you got to think to yourself, do I need to send people to go extinguish that fire right now? Because I know Mothra's got those strong wind gusts. Mm-hmm. And if that fight steers in the right direction, Mothra's going to put that fire out. And I don't need to waste city money on this fire.
And then like on the other side of town is another fight, which you'd be like, okay, I need to dedicate more time and people to this. I like this because this is not, you can't prevent these fights from happening.
Yeah, you have no power over these fights. You have to just project what maybe is going to happen.
Unless you pay 99 cents and get Mechagodzilla, and then you can start fighting.
the late game does have a Mechagodzilla, and you can buy that. Or is that a microtransaction?
It's a fucking microtransaction. Yeah, it's a microtransaction. You can unlock all of like the kaiju. Actually, it could be fun where it's like kind of Plague Inc. style, where like every time you pay a dollar or something, it unlocks a new monster that includes a new mechanic to the game for you to deal with.
Blake.
Uh-huh.
The Mecha Protectors are gacha game mechanics.
Yeah, there you go. And then you have to like pray to God that you're gonna roll Mecha Godzilla. But
please,
if you
give me Mecha Godzilla, don't give me Mecha Mothra. Mecha Mothra gets knocked out of the air and destroys all my buildings all the time. I hate Mecha Mothra.
But sometimes when you roll, it actually fucking will sometimes be like, hey, I'm gonna spend 500 glimmer or whatever. What do we call it? Kaiju points, and you're gonna make a roll. It's either gonna summon something that'll help you, or it'll summon something that makes it worse.
Oh yeah, and like you get the little animation, like you're gonna get a 5-star character, and you're like, yes, 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 and then like, Kinky Dor is in your town.
Oh fuck! And then he's
going
just like,
to destroy everything.
Just destroying everything. So the whole point of the game is to one, build up your city to make it like the most pristine like city around. That's where your money goes to. It goes towards making really nice things, doing repairs, but it's constantly under attack from kaiju. And you just kind of have to figure out how to manage your police department, your fire department, your specific construction crews and everything else.
All right,
okay,
I got,
cool.
I
Give
got
me
two
one.
For you.
Okay, go.
The first one is from Conoran, at Conoran. Licensed game based on Kangaroo Jack, but it's marketed the same way the film was. And what, like, do you remember the advertisements for that movie?
I don't remember the advertisements. The only things that I remember about that.
Advertisements only advertise that, like, oh, check it out. It's a fun talking, joking around, mean, sassy kangaroo. And mm-hmm. the actual movie is about two guys that got hired by a bunch of mafia to deliver a crap ton of money. The money got stolen by a kangaroo, and so they're on, like, a run from their... for their lives from the Australian mafia.
I thought it was that inside the hoodie was a bunch of candy and a giant diamond.
No, I think it's a bunch of money. I believe it's a lot of money because I remember there was a really, really funny
bit. But where does
the
kangaroo keep it though?
In the hoodie, because okay, so
yeah, but how does but a ton of money wouldn't fit in a hoodie?
It's in a little brown envelope, which I remember because there was a really funny bit when they're on the airplane, the two dudes go into the airplane bathroom. And they're like, check it out. I'm going to open the envelope. And they're like, whoa, there's a bunch of money in here. And they're like, yeah, there's so much. Oh, man, there's so much in here. And like, there's a little flight attendant lady outside like, oh, my God, what are they doing? And then one of the guys like, I've never seen so much green in one tiny little brown package. And I always thought that was a poop joke. But now I'm starting to wonder if it was a blunt joke. Oh, God, was that a blunt joke?
Oh, my God, you're probably right. I mean, like. I don't know, man.
I don't know either. Anyway, the kangaroo, they had the hoodie. They put a hoodie on a kangaroo, and then the kangaroo ran away with all the money. The kangaroo never talks in the movie, but the advertisements all made it look like it was about
he talks in the movie. It's not that he talks to the guys. It's just we smash cut to him and hear things from his perspective. It's
what?
Like, yeah, it's like the dog in JoJo's Part 4 or Part 3. It's like it doesn't actually talk to the people, but like when there's that episode where we can hear what he's thinking and talking.
Wow.
Yeah, that's I very much remember that because like it would constant like the two guys would be like, come back, kangaroo, you got our shit. And then it would just smash cut to like, you know, them falling. And then the kangaroo would give some sassy remark about them being idiots. But then like once they went and talked to the kangaroo and got the hoodie back at the end of it, it's not like the kangaroo just talked to them. But that would be very 2000s. Okay, so but what's the game, though? Because we've just been talking about Kangaroo Jack.
Well, the game's advertised like check out our fun kangaroo adventure game. Like, it's advertised like a Viva Pinata-esque game, and then it's just like a really generic third-person shooter.
It's just GTA. It's like, it's just the next GTA game.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, you got another one for me?
Yeah, this comes from World's Best Dad 69. Nice.
Okay.
At Alex Creech, the Super Smash Bros. Dating game where you have to max out your relationships with another character and you make a baby. The babies are the fighters. And I don't really want to talk about this submission so much as this reminded me about a real video game that exists in the real world.
What? What
okay,
game?
I forget the name of it. I only remember it because there was an anime of it like 2 years ago, I think. And I remember watching the first couple episodes of the anime.
Oh my god,
really
wait. I do remember what you're talking about. Please continue.
There's this JRPG for the DS that the whole way the game works is like there are girls that you hit on and date. The girls will then have a baby. You then take this baby as your little JRPG companion into a dungeon. I don't remember the name of this game. I remember the name of this anime. I remember know it was in 2019.
Yeah, I remember a buddy of ours played the shit out of that for a long time.
A friend of ours owned that game and was like, I played a bunch of that back in the day.
Okay, so it's... Well, I mean, there we go. The games already exist. There you go.
The game already exists. I just wanted to give a fucking blast.
You just can't date Samus, you know?
I just wanted to make sure that our audience understood that there was a video game out there where it's a JRPG where you hang out with your kids.
That is kind of a responsibility of ours now that I think about it. Like when
we have to let our audience know about games. If they give us a horrible idea and we know of a game that has that horrible idea, it is our duty to inform them that it exists.
And it's playable. All right. Let's talk about bosses, my guy. So we're obviously going to go with that one game.
Yeah, we're going to go with that game, which let's talk about some naming conventions. Let's go to bosses and then we'll talk about names.
All right.
Because there's a lot of good directions we can go.
I have one from Zentrica, would actually change the game pretty hard. And also, I don't think I've seen this before. A room full of vampires from Zentrica.
okay, well, here's how that one works.
Have you seen a noir that has vampires? Like a 1930s story that has vampires in it?
Does Van Helsing count?
That's not in the 1930s. That's like 1800s, dude. That's like the time of Dracula, which was like, I believe, in late 1700s, early 1800s?
Then no. No, I have not.
God, I must sound like an illiterate fuck right now. What year did Dracula the novel come out? Was 1897. Okay, so like that's around that time, my friend. So like 40 years later. So
the way that this one works is like there's obviously like there's one character that you're dating that looks like a vampire. And he's like, I'm here to not to kill Sherlock. I'm here to suck. Blah blah blah. I am here to suck.
Gotta love those low-hanging fruit jokes, man. That's what defines this podcast.
That's what defines raunchy dating sims.
You're so fucking right.
But as you pursue this one and this romance, the final boss of that one is revealed that like he obviously didn't kill Sherlock because you're trying to give him a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another person that actually is a vampire if you follow this route.
like another one of the oh my god, that's rad.
And the end, instead of it being like the bubble game type, it's just like a railway shooter where like you just have to keep on shooting as like little dudes run down the screen.
I think it would be kind of cooler if you did a thing where the whole game is about playing Bubble Blast against one person.
Yeah.
The final level of that is you playing Bubble Blast against four people, like Tetris 99 style.
Oh, geez. Well,
so that's the room full of vampires.
Which do you think is more interesting for the room full of vampires boss? The idea that it changes to four different people playing against you, or the idea that like it actually kind of changes the UI and the whole setup of the game and turns into a game where you have to shoot people as they're running down to attack you?
I like the so you're saying like it's still the Bubble Blast format,
it's
but
still
instead
the
of
Bubble Blaster format, but rather than shooting your thing to try to make matches,
okay,
you're just shooting
okay
to attack
that's
the little vampires as they run down the screen at you.
Okay, I like that because I thought you were like saying a thing where it's like it's House of the Dead style where they're all like coming at you that way. That kind of railway shooter as I thought what you're saying. No, if it's still in like the little screen where you have your revolver that you're panning right and left and you
yeah
have to like
it turns into like a little Galaga thing rather
yes,
than
yes. I like that. Okay, that is way cooler and there's just like a horde of vampires that are coming at you. And here's the fucked up thing. If you didn't do investigation earlier in that run and found like, a case of silver bullets, I might as well take this. You never know what if it'll come in handy. If you didn't grab that, you fucking die in the last round and have to start over. that is the most I would love for mechanics that in this game where it'd be like, yeah, there's a potential to fail this run because you didn't investigate hard enough.
Yeah,
that's brutal. That's brutal. All right. AJ, we got to come up with a name. I think Private Dick.
We do need to talk about some names. Private Dick is very good. I also like the name Undercover or Undercovers.
Undercovers?
I also like Dicking Around.
Dick. I like Private Dick, a noir dating simulator.
Private Dick and Undercovers.
Dating simulator. Private Dick, an undercover dating simulator.
Are we sure we can't do dicking around?
No, that's just too on the nose, AJ. I like a little bit of class, a little bit of design in our games.
Well, okay, but that's only in the naming, right? Like, the actual writing of this game is going to feel, like, really cringy. Like, we're on some Larry writing, right?
No, like, Laser Suit Larry was kind of fucked up because it was, like, really transphobic and not fun.
Oh, yeah. But, like, of course, it's without all of the horrible, nasty things.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, like, just, like, ham-fit.
It
just feels like
Honey
a movie.
Pop without the racism.
Well, you know, actually, yes, the racism part was fucked up, but I felt most of the writing in Honey Pop was actually really, really tightly done.
Most of it's pretty tight for a dating sim.
Yeah, well, the thing that I love about Honey Pop that made it such an interesting game for me to play was because of how self-aware it was.
You just like that the one pixie girl bullied you for playing a dating sim.
Shut up. No, I feel that game was fun because so much of it revolved around making fun of that kind of culture that can be very kind of gross in a way.
But
at the same time,
it is a game where you bang someone's and their mom.
Yes, but at the same time, you're still like, I think it's okay for games to revel in their reverence. Reverence? Is it reverence? What do you call it? What do you call it when something's really raunchy?
Irreverent.
Irreverent. Like a game that's totally fine for a game to be irreverent. So, but at the same time, I think there's like a fine line between being like a weird power fantasy and being just like a fun time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
So, circling back, what do we want to call this game? Because I feel like dicking around is too on the nose.
All right. Private Dick.
Private
Undercovers
Dick.
Noir.
An undercover dating sim?
An undercover dating sim is very good. I want to put the S on there, though. I think that adds a level of comedy to it.
What, Private Dicks?
No, Private Dick and Undercovers. Dating sim.
And Undercovers dating sim. No, but that just sounds like bad sentence.
And Under the Covers dating sim?
An Under the Cover dating sim?
Yeah.
Okay. An Under the Covers dating sim? I guess I don't know. I'm not too confident in it, but if that's what you want, buddy.
That's what I want. Trust me on this.
All right. I got the Private Dick part. You got the Under the Covers dating sim part.
And that's a game.
That's a game, baby! We ready for patch notes?
Yeah, let's go to patch notes. How's it going, everybody? And welcome to patch notes. This week, we wanted to go ahead and elevate a couple voices that we think need to be elevated, as well as kind of go back to announcing some of the stuff that we've got going on. So, First and foremost, and more importantly, I wanted to go ahead and link back to the Navajo and Hopi families' COVID relief fund. It was a GoFundMe that I found thanks to the Black Lives Matter card. The long and the short of it is that a lot of Native American tribes did not get stimulus money for the COVID pandemic, and that left a lot of them in bad shape. So this is a fund that exists to try to help them out through all of this. And I wanted to link that so that if you guys are still in a position where you can help out, this is a really good place to help out.
I think it's important to check that out, too, because even though kind of everybody's social media is going back to a little bit of normal, a lot of people are still suffering out there. And I feel like we all need to do our part and, you know, give back. I think that's super key, especially right now. Who knows, the next couple of weeks are going to be really weird for everybody. So, and all of you stay safe out there too. Like, we appreciate that you guys come hang out with us every week. Gives us a reason to smile, and we hope we can give you guys a reason to smile.
Yeah.
But the second thing that we wanted to talk about, and this is more just like an announcement, we recently reached one of our goals on Patreon, where we're going to be doing a bonus episode that will be this format, but instead of making a game, we're going to be making movies, and we're taking submissions from our Discord, and we're going to be recording that this week, and the episode should be out either this later this week or early next week. So look out for that, and we hope to have some fun with you guys.
Yeah, and that'll be a bonus episode, so you don't have to worry about missing out on anything. Added on to our normal feed.
Yes, we're not going to be replacing a regular old episode with it.
So, with that being said, I think we're ready to bring it to a close.
Hell yeah.
As always, thank you all so much for listening. Our intro and outro music is Cheap Shop by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I have been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.